on in, sit right down. Keep your hands up and keep your chin down. Shut the door, time to go with Randy Harrison, Knockout Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Knockout Radio with Randy Harris is about to start. So get ready for the best MMA talk, games, interviews, prizes, and surprises anywhere. For Knockout Radio, I'm the voice, Ray Flores, and now here's Knockout Radio.
Hey-o. Hey, everybody.
What is going on, everybody? We are back. I can't believe it's been a week.
What do you mean?
It seems like yesterday I just saw you.
Seriously? Because yesterday you were in South Florida.
That was, yeah, last night.
Well, otherwise known as South America.
You know, and we'll talk about that. A lot of things we're going to talk about. OTAs just started. We have a big celebrity coming that'll be here momentarily.
I'm already here.
I can't.
You don't have to go far. This is why it feels like yesterday you just saw.
That's why, you know, I was asked, you know, with this website that there's only going to be like certain names, you know, like levels, like part of the team, the three names. Mm-hmm. So I had to let Matt know that he will not be one of those three names.
I'm not on this. This is my show. Once you pass on, rest in peace.
He's looking forward to me already. He's already plotting for me to my death.
Who's going to inherit this show if Sean doesn't take it over? It goes to me by default.
Who says?
And then I'm going to be the longest running sports talk radio in Tampa Bay. Paul Porter will hate me.
Okay, all right. Let me ask you this, Caleb. Since you know we talked about and you asked me if a player plays in a preseason game, do I consider him, you know, an NFL player? Blah 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 blah. Yeah. So when that time comes, and let's be honest, it's going to happen eventually. All right.
Yeah.
So when I do pass on. And if he does take over the show, does he take the legacy of the show with him?
No, no.
Thank you.
No,
you start from scratch.
The Steelers, that's the brand. That's the franchise. It lays on forever, no matter who owns the team.
Yeah, but
not the Ravens.
If they get a new quarterback, that quarterback can't say, I won 6 rings. He's got to make his own legacy, you know what I mean?
I mean, Tom Brady's still the greatest buck ever.
He does that all the time.
Don't do that.
Look at all the figures.
He does that all the time. Thank you.
That's like saying LeBron's the greatest Laker. Come on, don't do that. Don't do that.
See, I like this because now you're pissing off Caleb. And I've never seen Caleb mad.
Why get off? That's not fair. Salty today.
Caleb's like the Hulk. You won't like Caleb.
Like, come on.
I lost 50 pounds. Gerald
McCoy's a greater Buccaneer than
Warren Sapp is the greatest Buccaneer of all time, in my opinion.
Yes.
You know, and there's only three others in that conversation. And I tell this knucklehead that all the time.
Yeah.
The greatest buck of all time has to be one of the four. It has to be.
Okay, who's your four?
You're four in the Hall of Fame.
Okay, yeah. Fair.
So until Mike Evans, until whoever goes into the Hall of Fame, they want, if you tell me anybody is the greatest buck and it's not one of those four, all your credibility's gone.
Can I ask you a question?
You don't have to raise your hand.
It's like we're in school again.
Caleb in the back.
I know how I feel. Do you think Gerald McCoy is going to be a Hall of Famer?
I think it's going to be hard for Gerald McCoy to get in the Hall of Fame because he played for an awful team, first and foremost. So when the voters get in there, let's be honest, it's all up to Ira Kaufman. I mean, he's the media guy that pitches, you know, the players and such. I think Gerald is probably a bubble. He was a great player on an awful team. And for some reason, and I think it's going to happen even more. You know, the Tampa Bay Bucs have always been disliked, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's always been they've been disliked because they were bad. And now, as per people that are going to be walking through the door momentarily, they're disliked because of Tom Brady.
Yeah. I think that he, to me, is, I don't think he will be a first ballot Hall of Famer, but I think he's a Hall of Famer without a doubt. Maybe second or third try. And I hope that he can, you know, have a couple more seasons being healthy because the last, like, two and a half seasons, he's been hurt. But I think if he can put two more solid – because, like, he when he was in the Panthers, he had 11 sacks that year. You know what I'm saying? Like, so he's been productive.
Give me
a five-sack game.
Give me your thoughts, and I know we've talked about this, on how long you're eligible to go into the Hall of Fame. Are you okay with that?
How long is eligibility? Like what? It's a long time.
Like 62 years.
Yeah, I don't know about
that. And then you can even get in after you've passed away.
Yeah, you know, I think maybe like there should be like a cutoff of tries. So maybe like 5 times.
I'm good with that. 5 years.
You know what I'm saying? Whatever, 5, 6 years. And it's like, if you're not after 10 years, it's like, okay, like who are you going to?
Your stats don't change.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? So like, I feel like there should be a cutoff of that kind of stuff.
So I'm not a Gerald McCoy fan.
Yeah.
And
he's not a fan of yours either.
But at the same time, I do hope that Gerald McCoy makes it to the Hall of Fame, because that would mean the birthday gift I gave Randy
I knew he was going to say that.
For his 102nd birthday was an autographed, authenticity-signed Gerald McCoy football in a plexiglass case with a nice mirror.
When it comes to Gerald,
has value.
I don't think people realize how much of a headache he was for like 6, 7 years.
Sure.
You did, and then again, like he didn't get sacks like Aaron Donald, but like he was unblockable for a long time. Like,
it's just unfortunate when you are a great player on a really bad team.
Yeah, it is.
A great talent on a low.
See, he's showing off. He's going to get fired. I'm telling you.
Oh, we're going to get fired again.
Here's my prediction. By the time Ronnie Marmo leaves this show, so he'll be on roughly the bottom of the hour till the top, so about 30 minutes. My prediction is Matt will be fired on air for the 4th time during while Ron's on.
And written off the will. So yeah,
he's not in the will, trust me.
What do you mean?
You're not in the will.
You mean I'm not getting the Oscar Schmidt autographed jersey from Brazil, number 14, my wife's birthday? That's
all you want from me? Hold on a second. So you're saying when I die, all you want from me is just my Oscar Schmidt jersey?
And the show.
And your radio show legacy. Yeah.
Not even the show, I want your legacy.
Oh, your legacy.
The show and the legacy.
So you're going to live on my legacy.
And I want your trademark that you own, legend. I want the legend word to stay with me forever. Only I can dish out the word legend from now on.
All right, we only have a couple minutes before our first break, and then we'll head out to Las Vegas for this weekend's UFC. Chase Hopper coming up momentarily. Yesterday we went down to game one, the Florida Panthers versus the Tampa Bay Lightning. I swear I felt like I was at a Devil Rays game. And yes, the Devil Rays, not just the Rays. The crowd was awful. The crowd was non-existent. But there was no atmosphere there.
You were in the Everglades.
No, I wasn't.
You're in Sunrise. There's nothing in Sunrise.
It was still sold out.
But there's still nothing.
Granted,
there.
Tickets were $31 for game one of the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Wow.
It was crazy.
Hockey's booming right now, isn't it?
Well, I think it's booming everywhere except for in Sunrise.
Yeah. I mean, also, like, it's just funny that two teams in the second round of Stanley Cup playoffs are Florida.
right. And they're all from other countries.
You know what I'm saying? I had no idea when I first got here that the Lightning were so good at hockey, because I was like, I didn't even play hockey here. Like, where do you get ice? Like, you know what I'm saying? And so,
all right, let me tell you a quick story. Let's go back into the early 2000s when the Tampa Bay Lightning were playing, I think it was Calgary, in the Stanley Cup Finals. Mm-hmm. So I'm in the media room, and I'm talking to another media person, and the guy goes, I'm from Calgary, and my wife is emphatic that Calgary has to win. And I go, why? She goes, because they're Canadian. I said, so are the Lightning.
Yeah.
You know, it's like 80% Canadians that play in the NHL.
Our Olympic team is just the Mighty Ducks of Anaheim. It's like Emilio Estevez.
Have you ever tried to stop the knuckle puck? Yeah. I mean, that's impossible to stop.
I was in the reserve for a week because of that.
That's like saying, I hope the Heat win because they're black guys.
Just for the record, I didn't say that.
We had the underhand basket shot. Like,
all right, if the FCC allows, we will be back after this break. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8-Man Strong and Staff Zone. And Matt will be fired by the top of the hour. We'll be right back.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Kurt Gowdy, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
Friday, May 20th, Eagle FC returns with some of the biggest names in MMA. Heavyweights clash in the main event as Junior Dos Santos is back.
Oh, my goodness! goodness!
He'll take on hard-hitting Jorgen DeCastro, plus Thiago Silva takes on Hector Lombard. Watch live and free. Sign up today at EagleFC.com. Eagle FC 47. The legend is back. Junior Dos Santos versus Jorgen DeCastro. Friday, May 20th at 6 p.m. Eastern.
Ooh, give me more! I want more!
This is Randy Harris for Mick for Hair at Got Split End Salon in Pinellas Park, our official hair care and grooming provider who caters to everyone, women, men, kids, and senior citizens in an affordable, upscale environment staffed with the most talented professionals in the business. Visit Mick for Hair at Got Split Ends today at 4376 Park Boulevard in Pinellas Park or call them at 727-290-9873.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tam Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Mike Alsat from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You're talking sports with Randy Harris.
Randy, you didn't have my mic on?
I didn't know we were back.
Mike Alsat, another Hoosier, another Indiana guy. You're in good hands with Alsat. Right, the commercial
with Allstate.
Allstate,
and he's going to take over the show and the legacy.
What are you going to do? What are you gonna, like? Where do you put Allstate in the list of your top Buccaneers of all time?
He's on the list.
Top five all day.
There was a thing on Facebook the other day that said, "Where would you put Carr on your list of quarterbacks?" And I put top 38.
Who, David? David, or what's the other one's name?
Derek.
You know, and so Sean gave me a hard time. I go, I'm not saying that he's not six. I'm not saying he's not nine. He's top 38.
Yeah.
Top 38. Six is in top 38.
Yeah, definitely not top 10.
Okay, so I got something that I kind of this happened this week in sports that would be interesting. Pat Beverly. Did you guys see this?
Depends on what you're talking
about.
Okay,
he went on all the shows on ESPN.
He was on ESPN all day long.
And yeah, slandering Chris Paul.
A little arrogant.
Slandering Chris Paul, right? Yeah. And, you know, this is something that kind of hit home with me because I'm a current player talking sports. And there's this line, and Matt Barnes touched on it because he kind of called him out. He goes, hey, like, as analysts, you have to give harsh critique of what you see. It's tough when you played with people or you played against people. In this case, currently playing against people, you know, like me. And it's like, you have to kind of find a way to toe that line between, hey, like, I'm critiquing your game or just going out there and taking it as a chance to take shots at guys. So if you saw, like, what were your thoughts on, like, being in media? Like, because we've talked about this and, like, there's a way to go about critiquing games and, you know.
We'll address that.
Yeah.
We'll address that. We got to address some other things that you want to address. But right now, let's welcome back to the show. It has been a little while since Chase has been on. Let's head out to UFC land in Las Vegas and welcome back Chase Hopper. Chase, how are you?
Hey, how's it going? Just getting ready for the weight cut here, having a grand old week in Vegas and enjoying the weather.
What's fight week like for you? And you know, I ask the fighters this, you know, all the time. You know, you go through it, obviously, every single time you have a fight. Are they different? Are they the same? Do you try to address them the same? How will you get through this week?
They're very similar. I feel like a lot of the little stuff will change, but especially with UFC, like the process is so down pat that it's like, you know, you got, you're going to fly in on Tuesday, work out, you know, work out Wednesday, cut weight Thursday, weigh in Friday. You know, it's a pretty easy process and they time it all out for you, which is nice. But, yeah, it's nice with, again, at the Apex shows, like we already know how everything is run around here. So, you know, this is probably my best that I felt physically and mentally going into a fight week. But, I've done this, I think this is my fifth fight for UFC, so now it's kind of, it's definitely a bit of a process. And I've got it down, and I'm, you know, just trying to enjoy it as much as possible because these are all, like, pretty fleeting moments. And the rest of the time I'm just at home in a gym training, so...
So I guess the next most important question is, where do you sign on the poster? Do you always sign in the same? I've always wondered this. Like, you, when you sit down, are you used to always going top left corner, or do you go near a certain name, or do you not even think about it?
I guess, you know, the posters just change every time, but wherever they sit you down, I try to... I don't know. I'm more focused on not smudging my, being left-handed, not smudging the Sharpie. So that's usually where I'm focused. And it's like not putting my signature on somebody else's face, but, you know, somewhere off to the side.
I still want to do some kind of super-duper grand giveaway where one of the fighters, you know, and I'm sure that they're all black Sharpies, but one fighter takes like a red Sharpie just for one signature, and then we do like a great big scavenger hunt. To see where that one poster goes with that one red or whatever. I'm sure we'd have to get approval through the UFC, but I think it'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, fair enough. Probably similar to like how Connor let his kids sign a poster too. I'm sure those are worth crazy money right now.
Just adds to the funness for sure. Obviously, Chase still very, very young in the sport. I'm curious, in those couple years that you now have been fighting, what have you found the biggest change, the biggest difference from day one to today?
There's been a lot, but I feel like physically, you know, I'm going through the whole puberty process still, so just getting, you know, bigger physically, the weight cuts are getting larger and larger each time, but just probably more the confidence in myself and in you know, being a little more sure-footed with, you know, whether it's the training or, you know, knowing how I want to get ready for a fight, knowing what I want to do. Like, you know, now I'm kind of in a veteran type spot among, you know, like guys at my gym, that type of thing. I'm one of the head guys now, just for having put the time in. So I like, I'm able to determine what I need for myself a little better, which is, you know, it helps out come fight night.
Sure. Any chance, I'm curious, do you have any of the very special M&Ms that the UFC sent out? Do you still have any left?
Yeah, those are the only M&Ms that I have any. Those are, I'm going to keep those around for a long time. That's probably one of the coolest things I've ever gotten, so...
I've never cracked open the jar, so I still have the full jar full of the M&Ms on my counter at the house.
Nice. I'm glad. Okay,
so it looks like your first day of signing a poster was back on December 10th of 2019, and you signed a poster for UFC 245, which had the headliner Usman versus Covington, Holloway versus Volosky, and Nunez versus Dermandamine. So the question is, do you still have any of those posters in your possession? And if so, we're collecting them for Randy's Memorial Fund. and we would love to have one at the studio here.
Oh, you're an idiot.
I think, I'm pretty sure I have all my posters somewhere. I haven't, they're really hard to take out of the little tubes they give you, so I haven't messed around.
That is the challenge. That is the hardest part.
What's the craziest, strangest, weirdest thing that's ever happened either to you or involving you in the middle of a fight?
In the middle of a fight? I think there was one time where a dude was like, trash talking me. he's like, what? And like, was like calling me the B word and stuff. I'm trying not to swear on the radio for you guys, but
appreciate it.
You know, he was like, he was doing that as he was like backing away. Like, that like, just kind of makes me laugh in the moment a little bit. Like he's trying to call me forward as he's like running away.
That is funny.
If you have to use the restroom like in the middle of a fight, like really really badly, is there a protocol for that? Do you just, because I mean, like for me, you know, in the NFL, we, you know, you can go on the sideline. They have like a little, you can go in the locker room.
That's not the story we hear, Chase. What I've heard is offensive linemen purposely will go to the bathroom while they're playing because then defensive players don't want to touch them trying to get to the quarterback.
That's mainly defensive guys, I'm being honest. Those are mainly the defensive guys that do that.
It's not too bad because we only have to go for like 15 minutes where you guys are out there for hours. But like, yeah, we get to you know, like we're in the back room warming up, and especially after like rehydrating and stuff, like you're peeing like crazy, and you know, you're getting food in yourself in your body for like the first time in weeks. So that's definitely an issue. But like, you can run out, run to the bathroom right before you walk out. But okay, you know, it's only 15 minutes, so the address usually takes care of that on my end.
Okay, I'm just curious.
Give me Chase. Give me your thoughts on your opponent Saturday night.
Yeah, this is a really fun matchup. I feel like he's kind of, you know, got a similar style to myself. Very grappling focused, but he's a little shorter. He's coming up a weight class. He's right-handed, but you know, it's a lot of like a very similar style of opponent. But I feel like I should hopefully be better than him in, you know, all aspects. I'm trying to be, you know, a really well-rounded fighter coming into this one, and really just show off the stuff that I've been working on in the past, you know, 11 months and just kind of overall. And I feel like this is a really good matchup for me to do that and to kind of push the pace on them and not, you know, respect my opponent too much and just kind of, yeah, put on a good show for everybody and hopefully get a bonus. You know, it's a fight night, so it's a possibility.
Fight bonus is always good. Let me ask you this. When you're preparing, you're in the gym, you're doing your work to get ready for a fight, how much time, and you know, you don't have to go into too much of this, but, you know, do you look at your opponent? Do you see what your opponent does? Or is it really 90, 95, all what you're going to do, not necessarily what he's going to do?
Yeah, so, like, in the past, I've never really even watched film on my opponent, but I would just, like, have my coach be like, okay, he's really good at this, good at that. Like, these are strong suits, these are weak areas, that type of thing. But for this guy specifically, I've really just tried to have a mentality shift. But I ended up watching all of his fights when we accepted the matchup. And, you know, just made a list for myself of, like, just things that I would notice, whether it's in the striking or the wrestling or the grappling, just trying to, you know, understand my opponent in, like, an objective way and not make them like this mysterious figure that I got to fight, you know, at some point, but like having a little more of a realistic view. But yeah, I'm trying to come into this one with the mentality of like, he's got to fight me, not the other way around. So again, try not to pay too much respect to them and not be too like hesitant, which has kind of happened in the past a little bit. So it's just trying to grow overall with that.
Throughout the course of a fight, when you're kind of going in, let's say your opponent gives you something that you didn't prepare for, or there's kind of like a switch in your plan, do you rely solely on your corner, or is it kind of one of those things where like you have a certain amount of plans kind of schemed up throughout your camp and through fight week that if he goes to this, I'm going to switch to this? Or is it just kind of like a thing where your corner is kind of feeding you like, hey, go to this now and do this, or both?
It's a little bit of both for sure. I just, like, you sometimes get caught up in the momentum of the fight. Like, okay, he hits me, now I hit him, now he hits me. And, like, you're just back and forth. And it's sometimes you have to break out of that cycle. And I feel like the corner is good for that between rounds. It's like, hey, focus on this round. Like, you need to wrestle more. You need to grapple more. You need to work your underhooks, like that type of stuff. But, yeah, obviously, like, we kind of try to plan for the guy's tendencies a little bit. But again, like it's always not just trusting what the film of the guy is. Like, they've obviously been improving between fights, so you know, they might have added a new trick, something like that. So it's definitely being ready for anything, but yeah, just trying to trust your corner and having them with their objective view of the situation versus you, who's kind of like locked in there, a little more tunnel vision, I would say, than them, where they're able to, you know, kind of see the fight as a whole.
Is it tough sometimes when you're in there, let's say you take a shot or you take a couple shots and you feel like you're down and around, is it tough to stick to your game plan and kind of let it play out because that's kind of what you worked on? Or do you feel the urge sometimes to say, man, he hit me a couple times, I want to go all out and kind of swing for the fences?
I think that's, you definitely have to kind of stick to your plan a little bit. At least like in the beginning of the fight, you know, like the first round, if you lose the first round, then you're like, okay, now I have to switch it up. But, you know, the first couple minutes, like, obviously you're going to end up taking a couple shots. You know, it's this fight and after all. So it's, you kind of have to, you know, put that in there. And it's good, you know, having the corner be like, okay, you won that round, you lost that round. Just have them, like, kind of tell you what to do a little more. Because, again, like, they're seeing it a little more objectively than you are.
Mm-hmm. Finally, Chase, what can the fans, what can the media, what can you know, everybody expect on Saturday when you get back in? Like you said, it's been almost a year or just over a year. What can they expect when you get back in the cage on Saturday?
Yeah, hopefully a good show, and you know, just kind of reinstating to the fans, and well, it doesn't really matter the fans' opinion so much as, like, you know, Mick Maynard, Dana, Sean Shelby, those are the three guys I need to impress. But, you know, just showing them that I'm a more well-rounded fighter than I have been in the past. And that, you know, I haven't just been preparing for this fight. I've been preparing for, like, you know, the next five down the line. I'm trying to improve, just kind of overall be more well-rounded fighter and just, you know, hopefully dominate here on Saturday night.
Good stuff. We're definitely looking forward to it. Chase, thank you very much for your time. I know we have your address. We're going to mail you another care package from 8 Man Strong, as well as some really cool socks from Odd Sock Official. Best of luck. Enjoy yourself on Saturday.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate the time.
Talk to you again soon. Chase Hooper. I always say Hop. I don't know. I have like a mental block. You know, it's Hop. No, it's Hoop.
Words are hard.
Two O's and a P?
Yeah, words are hard.
Words are hard.
You know, I didn't go to UCLA.
Yeah, because you couldn't spell it.
Probably. My password, and I kept forgetting it. All right, we're going to hit a quick break. When we come back, this is going to be a lot of fun. An actor is in town, has a one-man play that's going on at the Straz. We're going to talk about that. And I have a feeling we're going to talk about a whole lot more when we return. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Sum. We'll be right back.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Jim Tomey, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
Oh, baby! And he's looking to finish!
Friday, May 20th, Eagle FC returns with some of the biggest names in MMA. Heavyweights clash in the main event as Junior Dos Santos is back.
Oh, my goodness!
He'll take on hard-hitting Jorgen De Castro, plus Thiago Silva takes on Hector Lombard. Watch live and free. Sign up today at EagleFC.com. Eagle FC 47. The legend is back. Junior Dos Santos versus Jorgen De Castro. Friday, May 20th at 6 p.m. Eastern.
Ooh, give me more! I want more!
How would you like to be like Jorge Masvidal, Dustin Poirier, Daniel Cormier, Joe Rogan, me, and many, many others? You could also own an amazing painting from Ross Bain's art. Ross paints original canvas art, including custom commission work. There is nothing Ross Bain's can't paint. Ross was commissioned to paint the Masvidal flying knee mural on the ATT gym wall as well. Hang a painting in your house or office of your favorite athlete, actor, pet, family, sunset, you get the idea. Check out his amazing talent on the online store at rossbainsart.bigcartel.com and join the Ross Baines Art owner family. Follow Ross today on Twitter at Ross Baines Art.
Calling all Rocky Balboa fans. Check out the sock collection available at oddsocksofficial.com. If you're a Breaking Bad fan or WWE or South Park, check out the sock collection available at oddsocksofficial.com. Scarface, Godfather, Back to the Future, and Jaws, and many others available at oddsocksofficial.com. Double Dare, SpongeBob, Street Fighter, and did I mention Rocky Balboa? All available at oddsocksofficial.com. That's odd, S-O-X, official.com. If you can't find a pair to wear, then why do you have feet?
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
Got bills? Looking for work, but nobody is hiring? StaffZone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, StaffZone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today. Get paid today. That's the StaffZone way.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Carl Eller from the Minnesota Vikings Hall of Fame. You're talking sports with Randy Harris.
All right, we are back coming to you live from Tournament the Pizza. Before we introduce our guest, Caleb, I just have a quick question.
Yeah.
Over under 16 minutes that Matt lasts. Does he get fired over or under the 16 minutes? Because there's so many things I already know what he's going to throw at poor Rob.
The pressure's off. Usually I'm the star. I don't have to do anything for the next 30 minutes. Like, we actually have a legit star here. I don't have to play one.
Let me turn this mic off.
I'll say under 16 minutes.
Let's welcome back to the program, Ronnie Marmo, who we met on Radio Row in Los Angeles just a couple months ago.
That's it.
And I remember you saying, yeah, I'm coming to Tampa. I'm like, oh, I got plenty of time to watch Godfather. I didn't watch it.
You didn't watch it?
I didn't watch it.
Man, how could you remember what I said to you?
I don't. I didn't watch it. But I'll watch it before your show on Saturday.
I wouldn't have shown up.
But you're not in it.
I understand, but Joe's in Godfather 3.
Well, I understand.
Joe Mantegna, but it doesn't matter if I'm in it.
You got to see that.
We had a commitment, and you broke it, Randy.
But I was honest with you. I'm going to watch it before
you were honest after I'm sitting here. You should have told me over the phone. It's easy to be honest when I'm here.
You didn't ask me. You didn't ask if I watched it.
Now, if I leave, I'm the jerk. See how that works?
No, I would deserve it, but I will watch it. I promise you, I will watch it before you step on stage at the Strat Center on Saturday.
Okay. Really?
I promise you that.
Okay. There's going to be a quiz.
That's fine. That's fine.
I need a paragraph essay.
That's fine.
That's right.
Which one do I have to watch?
One and then two.
I got to watch them both?
Yeah, you got to
watch. Sure. Yeah. How can you get the
bill? Honestly, when you finish the first one, you're going to want to watch the second.
You think?
Yeah.
I think the second one's the best one of all time.
Well, I thought third because Joe was in it, right?
I don't think anything's ever been better than The Godfather 2 since then. I don't think anything's come out.
I'd rather go back and watch all your episodes of General Hospital.
Well, that would take an afternoon for sure. 150 of those. So
you're in town for the big show at the Strats, two performances on Saturday.
Yeah.
I know we're going to talk about a lot of things, but let's talk about the show on Saturday. I'm not a comedian. I'm Lenny Bruce.
Okay, yeah, I'm playing Lenny Bruce. It's a one-man show directed by the great Joe Mantegna. And, Lenny was, he was an important guy. He died in 66. If you like George Carlin, you like Richard Pryor, you like all those guys, they have Lenny to thank for kind of passing the torch. And I'm excited to bring it to the Strats. You know, it's a beautiful theater and two performances. It's a 90-minute one-man show, no intermission.
Wow.
Just me. And Randy, if you've ever wanted to see me naked, you have an opportunity. I start to play.
Well,
dead
now
naked.
I can't get that vision out of my.
I start to play dead naked on the toilet, and it doesn't let up. And I'm not kidding, actually. Wow.
Now I saw you on one of the TV shows. Yeah. I think it was 2 days ago, or time flies. And you were talking about how you've been involved in this for a long time. You know, talk about
you know, that process of when you first started, you know, this project to this tour?
About 15 years ago, this great comic came to me and said, "You know who Lenny Bruce was?" And I said, "Well, I'm a little too young, but I kind of know his name." And he said, "There's a play that someone else wrote. It's a one-man show. I think you should do it. It's called Lenny's Back and Boy Is He Pissed." That's the name of it. It's very funny. So after 2 years of talking me into it, because I was nervous about it, I did the show. Ran for 6 months. It was a great hit. And I fell in love with Lenny. But the problem was we weren't doing his material and his routines. We were just kind of talking about stuff as opposed to living the journey. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I started to feel like, wow, I'm not really – I'm almost doing him a disservice if I'm not telling warts and all, you know? So I went back and I went to Kitty Bruce, Lenny's daughter, and I got the rights to the bits and the material. And I spent 5 years writing my own play.
Wow.
And then we opened – I guess we're coming up on 5 years ago. Crazy. It's ran for a year in New York, a year in LA, a year in Chicago, and now we're touring. So
is it important for that show to be at this time, you know, in the world and what's going on?
A 1,000,000%. I mean, it's in so many ways we've regressed, you know. It's like Lenny Bruce stood, he got arrested for saying curse words. I don't know if you know.
Yeah, I remember that. I heard about that.
Yeah, he got arrested for curse words on stage, but really it was so much more than that. He was just such a, you know, he held a mirror up to society. And he fought for free speech all the way to the Supreme Court. He lost. He got sentenced to 4 months on Rikers Island for words. I probably can't say it on the air. I don't know.
You definitely can't.
Start here.
Nope. I slipped up a couple times.
Starts with a C, ends with a... Anyway.
Yeah.
So he got arrested for that. And he never did the time. He died of an overdose at age 40 when he was out on appeal. But he's still the standard. And, you know, things that just happened with Will Smith and Chris Rock... It's still happening. People, if they don't like something, and the cancel culture, you know, if they don't like something, they just try to stop it as opposed to having the freedom to say it, you know.
Give me, because I wanted to ask you about that, your opinion of what did happen with Rock and Will Smith.
My thought was, is that as an Italian-American man and, you know, machismo, I'd love to stand up for my lady, of course. But the truth is, it was completely inappropriate. You can't just go smack a guy in the face because you don't like what they say.
Yeah.
Now, Lenny Bruce used to say, you know, I have a right to say whatever I want, and my boss has a right to fire me. So, in other words, he believed in consequences as well. It wasn't just say what I want and screw you. But I think what happened that night is just unacceptable for all the comics. I mean, look, it just happened to Chappelle last week. You should be able to say, I mean, if you're mean-spirited, that's another discussion. Don't buy a ticket.
Thank you. I was just going
to
say.
Don't buy a ticket.
You paid to be here.
You know, I go to Adam Hunter. I go and see Adam Hunter a lot. He's a really good friend of mine. And when somebody starts heckling her, you know, I don't like. And he's like, "You bought a ticket to come see me. It's a comedy show.
Yeah, you came here.
I don't get that.
But also these award shows, the host is kind of set up in a way where he's supposed to roast everybody.
Yeah.
Right? I'm sure there were other people in the audience that night, big stars who didn't like the joke. But nobody got up and cracked them in the chops, and you just can't do that. It's unacceptable.
We'll get back to talking about Saturday, but we have found out that you are a huge sports fan.
Yes.
So you pick the sport, and then we'll talk about something.
Well, I'm the biggest Yankee fan in the world, so let's put that aside for a second, because I've literally been voted the biggest in the world. But
let me call David Wells real quick. You know who lives locally.
Yeah, is he still drunk from that perfect game?
You know, if I could pitch a perfect game, it wasn't allegedly. If I could pitch a perfect game,
I'm trying to protect him over here. I got to do some. I don't know.
That's not even my favorite David Wells story. My favorite David Wells story is when he was in Toronto and the manager came out to take him out of the game, and David didn't want to leave the game. And he put his hand out for the ball, and David threw it down the right field line.
Oh, yeah. No,
that's the best.
That is.
That's the best. So,
well, I appreciate actually what Caleb was talking about earlier about Pat, you know, from who's he playing for now?
Minnesota Timberwolves.
Yeah, because I'm a Clipper fan. I live in L.A.
Yeah.
So I love this guy.
Yeah.
And so it's weird. You brought it up. And so, I was thinking about it. I just thought, like, you know, on one hand, being in the industry, you can't disrespect your fellow artists and sports players. On the other hand, it's slightly refreshing to hear somebody tell their truth.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so sick of canned answers. So it's a weird place to be because I understand, like, you can't disrespect another guy that way, and it's also nice to not hear a canned answer.
Yeah.
And there's a weird balance, and I understand that it's not right or wrong. Everyone was shocked, and then I like what Barnes said. He was like, hey, man. You know,
you're to know your place. Like, you're
know
not
your
the...
place. We're role players, he said. You know,
you shouldn't talk about
that. So that's how I feel about that. It's a weird position. You know?
No, I agree with you 100%. And I think people are a little bit more abrasive to what he said because of who we're saying it. Because you can look at it in the sense of the guys in NBA on TNT. The Chuck,
best show on TV, by the way.
Amazing.
My favorite show on
TV. But they, you know, and then they criticize players really harshly. They criticize guys and say, man, he's terrible. He's soft. They, you know, they go in on certain guys who they feel aren't living up to the standard. And people kind of let it go and don't come at because, again, it's Hall of Famers. It's Charles Barkley.
Yeah, you're not going after
Shaq. Like, what are you going to tell Shaq? Shaq's like, you're terrible. What are you going to say to him? You know. But coming from Pat Bev, so it was just for me. It was just the dynamic was interesting to kind of see. It's like it's already hard to be in the media and to ask those questions because you know a lot of guys who are in the media didn't play, and it's like a guy can be like, what are you? You don't know. You don't know about this. And then to be a former player, a current player talking about it, it's like a very fine line to toe. And so it was just kind of interesting to see and to see the reactions from people.
And Chris did a lot, not only on the court, but he does a ton off the court for these players.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I don't know what his position is in the NBA.
He's the president.
He's president. Right.
And they have the best player association in sports.
So I think you really need to be careful when you're throwing Chris Paul under the bus because he's done a lot for Pat. Whether it's on the court or not. I mean, this guy does so much. And, you know, Bev's one of those guys that if he's on your team, you probably love him.
Love him.
And the rest of the league probably hates his guts. And I get it. He's one of those guys.
Sure, he's one of those guys.
You know?
Jensen.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Ryan Jensen,
the center for the Bucks. He was with the Ravens. And everything about him you'd hear from media is like he's a mean guy, dirty player. One of my favorite teammates I've ever had. The nicest guy.
He's the nicest guy.
He's so nice. Great family.
Yeah.
Always just like when you're on his team, you love him. If you're not, he's just a pest. You know. So it's like I understand.
Well, there's a list of them. Lenny Dykstra, who played for the Mets. Nice. I hated the guy until he went to Philadelphia. Yeah, then he's like Lenny Dykstra. Yeah, nails us now with, you know, with the Phillies. But you know what's funny, and I can relate to that, is Kenny Florian, who was with the UFC, and then he became media. But while he was with the UFC as a fighter, he would get on me because I don't like picking fighters. I don't like picking fights, you know, especially with my relationships and a lot of become friends. And, you know, there's a fine line in, you know, being honest and, you know, covering for your guy until Kenny became media. And then he came to me and goes, I get it now.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you don't want to lie in, you know, in a particular fight. And you and I have talked about this, Caleb. You know, I don't think this guy's going to win, but he's like one of my closest friends. Yeah. What do you do?
Yeah, it's really it's hard because you want authenticity. I mean, it's very attractive to see people telling the truth, but I think there's versions of that. You could still be a gentleman and tell the truth.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You could find a way. I mean, I see fellow actors and some people I'm like, I'd like to say, how'd they get that job? You know, can't even act wet in a pool, this guy, you know? But instead I say, you know what? Everybody's, you, the right opportunities come to you. You know, you find a way to say it and still...
So I've always been curious of people in the New York area, the New Jersey area. How does it happen? You're a Yankee, not a Met. You're a Giant, not a Jet.
You know, it happens a lot of different ways. My dad was a Brooklyn Dodger fan, and when they left Brooklyn, he became a Yankee fan. My brother's a huge Met fan. We grew up in the same house. So it's very funny. And, you know, I just, there's something about those pinstripes, and how it happened for me was, 77, Bucky Dent hit the home run. Yeah. And I wore the black stuff under my eyes the next 3 weeks to school every day. I was 7 years old. I'm like, Bucky Dent! I was him for Halloween every year. And, you know, I just actually, Lee Mazzilli and I have become pals. And he just did he came to see me do Lenny Bruce in West Palm a few months ago. And Lee Mazzilli was a Yankee.
Right,
Matt,
sure. You know?
I'm a Yankee fan through and through.
So what's that like as a Yankee fan? When somebody you liked as a Yankee now becomes, you know, goes to the arch rival.
I'm going to steal a line from Seinfeld. You root for the laundry. You root for the uniform. You know? There's only a couple of guys that I, like A-Rod, I never got behind as a Yankee. It never was, every time he got up, I was like, I don't want to watch this guy. So A-Rod never was a Yankee to me, but most people, you like a Rodman or guys like that, they end up on your team, you're like, I love this guy.
Oh, absolutely.
But you hate him otherwise, like we just said.
We need to go hit this break real quick, but see, I'm the exact opposite. I don't necessarily root for the uniform. Caleb went to the Saints. I'm not a Saint fan. I could care less.
Because you have a personal
connection. Right, you know, and I'm saying a lot of that, you know, so it's a little different, but very similar. When Dykstra came, I hated him. Now he's a Philly. I don't care.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, let's go hit a quick break. Coming to you live from Tournament Da Pizza. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone. We'll be right back.
Nothing so loud. It's hearing when we lie. Truth is not kind.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is Frank Gore, San Francisco 49er running back. I'm talking to sports with Randy Harris.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong. Country Depot, located at 36 North Broad Street in historic downtown Brooksville, could be the coolest store on planet Earth. From home and garden decor, handbags, and sports items, Country Depot carries a very large variety of unique gifts like nautical, primitive, country, and much more. Follow them on Facebook at Country Depot and stay tuned to Knockout Radio for details on how to register to win a $50 gift certificate. It's called Country Depot in Brooksville and worth the drive.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? Staff Zone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Steve Lowry from the PGA Tour, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
All right, we are back coming to you live from Tournament Da Pizza. All right, I'm gonna throw you the underhand softball.
Oh, boy.
I'm gonna let you talk about the pizza diet, but Ron, I need to tell you this. He does a pizza diet, and then he rides a 10-speed bike from St. Petersburg, Florida, to New York City. You could eat ice cream.
What year is
the whole time you ride? The whole time you ride, you're going to lose. You know, you're going to lose weight.
So I see. So that's not part of the.
That's part of his diet. Yeah,
I see.
You eat pizza and then jump on a bike and ride to New York. Go ahead.
Listen, Ron, here's the deal. The reason that he brought you on the show today, obviously, you have a naked man on a toilet bit. I'm the naked pizza man. I invented the pizza diet. I became a professional bodybuilder eating pizza, and then I rode a bicycle from Florida to New York City to deliver my message to the pizza capital. That pizza is the healthiest.
Flying would have been better, but
you delivered the message to the pizza. Who'd you talk to? Did you talk to anybody? Talk to the wall.
The naked cowboy. I got the Times Square. I went to the cowboy.
I see him all the time.
I went to Robert. I'm like, listen, Robert, I'm here now. I'm the pizza king, and I'm here.
And you and Robert went and got a drink, and then you rode.
And then got clothes on.
We had no pants on. But we want to be a part of your bit.
Thanks for the visual.
Naked toilets bit. Like, we're ready.
Thanks for the visual.
Put us in, Coach.
Put us in.
God, tell you real quick your diet story.
That's it. So I want to change the image of pizza globally. I wanted to uplift the industry. I created a science-backed nutritional program. I became GQ Magazine Elite Athlete of the Year 2016. Usain Bolt and J.J. Watt.
Go ahead.
He's going to get this show sooner than he thought.
See, I'm not a comedian, but I do respect it because I did try. I've done stand-up, and it is the hardest thing I've ever done in my entire career. And for you to do a one-man show for that long on stage, I don't know how you do it. And I'm curious.
I don't either, to be honest.
Because, like, you can't see. The lights are so bright. You have no idea to read faces. You can't tell people are engaged. Like, I was so lost. I've never been so terrified.
He's never been found.
I mean, look, Caleb for cussing and probably goes to Rikers Island, and he'll be fine. He's like 6'6", 330.
Rikers Island?
Suddenly,
yeah. Suddenly he's sitting in a prison. He didn't do it.
You're talking about the guy that got arrested and he went to Rikers Island.
Yeah, gotcha.
So look, Caleb drops the words on FCC. They arrest him. He's fine. Right, but I just don't get it. I don't know how you do it.
It's really an interesting problem. I mean, to do 90 minutes in front of people, and there's nothing, there's no safety net. No. I've done 392 performances. I counted the other day of total, and 392 times say the same 90 minute monologue. But you know what? It's great. I mean, it's look, I'm at the point with this show where if I don't know what I'm talking about, if I get lost, I just ask the audience, what the hell was I talking about? And they just tell me and I keep going.
Do you?
I have that kind of freedom with it now.
Do you still get butterflies when you get out there?
Yeah, I love that. 90%.
You still? Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, when I don't, I get nervous. That's usually when I fall on my face, when I'm like, I got this, you know?
Yeah.
But when I'm like a little nervous, I'm like, oh my God, we're about to start. It's that little bit of energy. I think it's healthy. I think it means you care. It's probably like playing an important game. You're
definitely
like, I care about this. I want to do great against that person.
It's always till the first play is over. You have those little butterflies, then you get that first hit.
Yeah.
Hopefully I don't mess up too bad the first play, then I'm good. Then
That's how I feel too. And I start to play, I wasn't kidding, dead naked on the toilet. So I couldn't be more vulnerable.
Yeah.
So like lights up and you see this naked guy and you're just like, and I'm basically saying to the audience, this is what I got. Are you with me or not? You know what I mean?
Ronnie, let me ask you this, and I ask fighters this. Like, what are you thinking in the middle of a fight? Are you trying not to think? So when you're on stage, are you concentrating on what the lines are? Do you know the lines so well that you can kind of just go out there and do your thing? Or what's kind of going through your mind?
The first 100 performances, I'd say I was white-knuckling it, just trying to remember the words. But at this point, I haven't done it in a few months, so I'm nervous. I hope I don't jinx this. Anyway, at this point, I'm kind of wearing it like a loose sweater. Like, it's more about telling the story. The way I see it is I take it a word at a time, a sentence at a time, and that's it.
You know? So let me ask you this then. Is it important that it is a quote-unquote script, or can you just tell a story and, you know, this time it says the same thing just with different words?
I think it's important. If it's not on the page, it's not on the stage. Meaning, like, the problem with the other play I was doing was that it was the kind of show, somebody asked me one time, a smart writer said, if you were to take these 28 scenes and throw them up in the air and they landed however they landed and you did it in that order, would the show work? And I said, yes. And they said, that's a problem. There has to be a beginning, middle, and end. You have to go on a journey, tell a story. So with my show, I'm proud to say we do that. So there are times I improv a little bit. If the audience is on fire and I'm feeling it, I'll break some chops here and there. But I always get back to the script. You know?
Now, does like before, you had a location and people came to you, and they're probably central and regional and local to that area. So you kind of know the vibe of the people. Do you have to change the content of your play, like based on what area of the country you're playing in? Like, are there certain scenes or certain words or things you adjust from show to show that are like little small details?
Well, I would say no. I am warned every city I go to because Lenny was very controversial. But especially in Florida, I have been getting interesting information about Florida. I'll leave it at that, so I still have a career after this show. But I will say there was an infamous, I don't know if you guys knew about this, but there was an infamous N-word bit he would do in the 60s. And the idea, Lenny's idea, you should look it up. Lenny's idea was to take the power out of the word, and so it didn't mean anything. Ultimately, and he offended everybody. Italians, everybody got offended in this bit, but obviously the N-word being the big one. It used to be in the show, and I used to do it because I understood the importance of taking people back to the 60s. But after George Floyd, I was no longer comfortable with it. It just seemed like nobody was listening to Lenny's point.
Right.
And to me, I didn't want to do that to Lenny. I didn't want to do that to our society. It's like, it's one thing to be authentic. There's nothing to be tone deaf to what's going on in the world.
Yeah.
And I thought that people would come and just hear that and not hear the entire show. And it made me nervous. So I cut it. And I'm very comfortable with that. So that's the only thing I've cut. And you should listen to it because I think it's actually very special when you get to the end. But if you're not listening, it could go really bad. And I did it for like 250 performances.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And you know who had no problem with it? African-American people. You know who had a problem with it? 20-year-old white millennials.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because we understand context. And we understand how intent.
It's true. You had to see. I've seen like subtle little arguments while I'm doing the bit in the audience with audience members. This one girl, she was a mayor. Her name was Tia. She was amazing. She said to this young white kid, she's like, don't stick up for me. I don't need you sticking up for me. Like during the show. Mm-hmm. Don't speak for me. Robert Townsend, the great comedian, he gave me a standing ovation while I was doing it. So it's really tricky, but I understand there's something bigger going on. And so I just wanted to be a gentleman about it. Maybe someday it goes back. Maybe it doesn't. It doesn't encapsulate Lenny. So that's the only thing I've changed because I couldn't sleep at night thinking I was going to do it.
Really?
It's pretty intense until you get to the end, and then it's beautiful. But if you're not listening, it could go really bad.
I called Kale the N-word once. Like, you're Nigerian, right?
This is the point. Is that like, he almost thought. Has it been 16 minutes?
He was careful.
Has it been 16 minutes?
You're fired. Can I fire him?
Yes, you can.
You're out.
Yes, you can.
Go make a pizza.
I almost made it the whole time.
Well, final thing, and then we're at the top of the hour. Any rituals, anything you do, you know, leading up, walking to the stage, getting ready to go out to perform?
You probably should ask my fiance. She's right here. But I usually yell a lot and say, I don't want to friggin' do this again. Right? What else do I say? I don't want to do this. You can't make me. What am I doing with my life? I can't believe this.
And then Paul from the Strat says, no, we have a contract. You need to get on stage.
I do it every Wednesday.
No, it's true. Thing. You know, it's weird. Actors are weird. I'm sure players are the same. It's like we have our little quirks, but ultimately, I just I try. It goes best when I get really quiet and really small, as opposed to getting rowdy about it. It goes best that way. So
how did you get started in, you know, your movie career, your film and TV, all that stuff?
You know, the short version, the Reader's Digest version, is that back in 95, my mother passed away, a young woman, and I used to go see theater with her. And she'd say, you should do it. And I used to say, oh, my, I can never get on stage. Look at all the people watching. And then when she died, I was like, what am I waiting for? I want to do it, you know. So I called a friend who was doing it, and I tried out for this play, and they gave me the job. And that was the last job I've had outside of show business was the summer of 98 was the last real job I had. So wow. I've been very blessed to be able to find my way, you know.
How soon do you need to leave?
I'm good.
Can you hang out a little bit?
Yeah,
all right, let's go hit the top of the hour, hit the news, then we'll come back. Mohammed Usman coming on, some cool stuff coming, and then Ronnie, if you guys would stay out, we'll feed you. Well, really, Matt will. And we'll keep having a good time. This is Knockout Radio, coming to you live from Tournament to Pizza. This is Breakdown.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, face demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3